Much, Deanna, for that special this morning. Please take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. For those of you who may be new to the service here this morning, we are looking at biblical principles of parenting, a very practical series on what the Bible says about parenting. And you may say, well, I'm not a parent. Well, you're a child. Every one of you is a child. And the Lord can use this in your life as a child, maybe to remind you of what you should have done as a child in response. But we have many children and teenagers here who need to know what they should be doing and how they should be responding. But there are parents here, there are prospective parents here, there are grandparents here. This applies to everybody. And so I trust that this will be a good reminder as to what we should be doing in our relationship with the Lord, because our first point, and I ask for feedback when I do this, we have our points that we're making, that if we're going to properly rear our children, there first must be a proper relationship with my relationship with God. So let's just go through that. Number one is my relationship with my, and then number two is my relationship with my spouse. Then comes my relationship with my children. But let's get things in order. First things first, second, third things third. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so the fundamental task that parents have is that of shepherding their child's heart, not just trying to get a certain kind of behavior, but it is actually shepherding the child's heart so that the behavior comes from the heart. And yet we realize that the behavior is an indication of what is in the heart. So behavior is important. Behavior is not the end of all things. Behavior is simply an indication. Last time we looked at raising Cain. Who was Cain? Cain was somebody that Jude 11 says had to have his own way, so much so that there it is said, he is spoken of as the way of Cain. And apparently when Cain was reared by Adam and Eve, he was allowed to have his own way. And when a child is allowed to have his own way, he ends up doing what Cain did, becoming violent and to the point of murder. Sometimes parents rear their children as if there is no manual for how to do it. They let them have their own way, that is the way of Cain. Well-known passage here, Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul is addressing who in the very first verse. So children who are under the authority of the home, all children this morning, please stand. Children of those who are 18 and under, children, stand. Children 18 and under. Okay, you may be seated. Listen to me. Who's the Apostle Paul talking to? You. Now you say, why'd you choose 18? I don't know. Could be age 20, 21, 22, those who are in home. What does it say there, children? I want just the children to read this, the next three words. Children! Okay, that was really weak. So I heard that. I heard my son's low voice, obey your parents. But I want everybody, all children, age 18 and under. Children, obey your parents. Is that a suggestion or is that a command? That is a command. Children, obey your parents. And then it says, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. And that means that when you obey them, you do that with a good attitude. It's not, well, okay, I'll take the trash out. No, it's, yes, mom. Yes, sir, dad. I like the way they do it down south. All the children say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So children, you have a responsibility to obey. Listen to me. One of the characteristics of the last days when perilous times shall come is this. Disobedient to parents. Are we seeing that in our society today? Children who are disobedient to their parents. That's, by the way, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Children who will not obey their parents. Listen, there's no expiration date on that. Honoring mom and dad is a lifelong command. Well, then we get to verse 4, and this is the verse that I have for us today, because parents also have a responsibility. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, you have a responsibility. And you see two parts to that verse 4? It's broken up with the word but right there in the middle. And that word but, there's two words in the Greek that has to do with this adversative or this but. One is kind of a weak one. One is very strong. This is that strong one. And so if I would read it the way it is in the original, as far as the emphasis goes, it would read this way. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, if you are not doing the second part, you are doing the first part of that verse. In other words, if you are not bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you are provoking your children to wrath. And who's being addressed here? Specifically, which parent? Fathers. Fathers are the ones responsible to lead in discipline. Why is this addressed to the fathers? Well, you'll read many things, but I think this really has to do with the fact that typically the father is the one who really comes down hard. And it's mom who's like, no, don't be so harsh. No, back off. And and that's good because the fathers need that balance, but the mothers also need the fathers to come in there and give the kids what they really need. So fathers, don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You show me a home where the father is not leading in the discipline, and I'll show you a home where the children are not only weird, they run the home. Two things when it says of the Lord. Bring them up in two things. The nurture, and that literally means discipline. And that's why I've entitled this message, Disciples and Discipline, or Discipline and Disciples. Nurture, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Let's think about that word discipline for a minute. Let me quote to you 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a passage that you know very well once I start quoting it. What does that say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Same word you see here translated nurture. It is profitable for discipline in righteousness. It is the same word used, and I'd like you to turn with me to this passage, Hebrews chapter 12. The same word you see translated nurture in Ephesians 6:4, Hebrews 12. And we're saying that the overarching meaning of that word is discipline. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, you're going to recognize this when you get there. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening. That is the word discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Despise not thou the discipline of the Lord. In other words, our tendency would be to do what? To despise discipline. Now, when I was a child, I despised being disciplined. I think every child does. Because you don't like it. I don't like it either. In fact, the writer goes on to say something about that later on. But we also notice this in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines, he chasteneth them, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening or discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth or does not discipline? But if ye be without discipline, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that word bastards is a word we don't use today. It's an old English word. Today it's considered profanity. But in the King James days, it expressed something. Here's an illegitimate child. And the Bible says if you're not being disciplined, you're an illegitimate child. Go down a little bit further to verse 11. Now, no chastening or discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous. Boy, I just love to get a spanking, you know. Man, this is great. I just got a spanking from Dad. I never said that. Because my spankings hurt. And we're going to be talking about that later on. If a spanking does not hurt, it is not a spanking. No discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I spent this last week with my brother in Nebraska. This is the one brother you haven't met. And every night we would talk, and we would talk about, you know, the growing up years. And you know what? We would talk often about the discipline, but how much today we appreciate it. How hard at the time it seemed that my mom and dad were on us. How hard they seemed to be on us. But today there's that peaceable fruit of righteousness. And I thank God for my mom and dad. So nurture is discipline. Folks, a father who does not discipline his children biblically will provoke them to wrath. In other words, the child doesn't know what is expected and when to expect it. You see, because biblical discipline means that it's consistent discipline. It's not capricious. It's not one day, well, I'll discipline him for this, but then tomorrow I'm going to let him get by with it. It's consistent. When it's inconsistent, the child doesn't know what to expect, and the child becomes angry, not knowing what to expect. So fathers, discipline your children biblically, or else you will provoke them to wrath. Now, there's, with that word discipline, another word. Bring them up in the nurture or the discipline and admonition. Have you ever been admonished? The word has to do with warning. So bring them up in the discipline and the warning of the Lord. My mom had a knack for giving lectures. She would discipline us, and then we'd have to sit there for the next 45 minutes to an hour and listen to a lecture. And it was full of warnings. Warning about this. And when you get married, I warn you. And it was good. Did I appreciate it at the time? No, but it helped me learn how to sit through history of civilization in college. And it also taught me some things. I still remember some of the things my mom said. There's the warning. Bring them up in the discipline and the warning of the Lord. Well, where do I find the discipline and the warnings of the Lord? I find it in His Word. So I'm not going to Mr. Spock, Benjamin Spock. You younger kids don't have any idea of what I'm talking about. I know Mr. Benjamin Spock or Dr. Benjamin Spock because my mom would always talk about him before she spanked me. She'd say, I don't care what Dr. Spock says. You're going to get a whipping. And I'd get a whipping. So I learned who Dr. Spock was. You think he was on Star Trek, yeah. A show I despised, anyway. Discipline and admonition. Twins. Those same twins are found in Proverbs 29:15. Here you are in Ephesians 6. Go back to Proverbs 29:15 because we're going to be looking at this verse later on, not this morning, but later on in our series. Talking about discipline. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Let's do some application here. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child like Cain, who has his own way, brings his mother to shame. The rod and reproof. There's the twins again. The twins, nurture and admonition. The twins, rod and reproof. Proper discipline will include the rod. You know what the rod is? It's not your hand. You know when you spank a child with your hand? It has very little effect, except on how your hand feels afterward. I think it hurts your hand more than it does the child. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to talk about the rod sometime later. But the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I was watching this last week at my brother's house, a man, they call him the dog whisperer. Does anybody know his name? Caesar Milan, I think, is his name. And he was in a house where this lady had this little chihuahua that she absolutely loved. But her husband could not get along with this dog. Howie something. This guy who can't shake hands with anybody. I forget what his last name is. That was her husband. And he would go sit on the couch and this chihuahua would attack him. That's because Howie would never pick the dog up. And when he did, he finally had gloves on to pick up the dog. And the dog would tear into his hand. And here I am, and I'm thinking about the message for Sunday. And here's what Caesar Milan, this dog whisperer, says to this lady. He said, you may say that you love your dog, but if you don't discipline your dog, you don't love him. Now, how is it that a dog trainer can understand it and parents who read their Bibles can't? And by the way, it is interesting that you'll notice that people who have unruly dogs have unruly children. They can't control their dogs. You'll find they can't control their children either. Discipline. Kind of has a negative connotation, doesn't it? But discipline, folks, is important. And this is my first point. And this is my only point I'm going to make today. The importance of discipline. Next Sunday, Lord willing, the purpose of discipline. But today, the importance of discipline. Without discipline, you don't amount to anything. Good or discipline is key to being a good student. Discipline is key to being a good employee, to handling money, having financial health. Discipline is key to having good physical health. Discipline is key to punctuality, to organization, to neatness. Discipline is key to parenting. By the way, I read an article some time ago. This is from a secular man who says, you know what? Don't call it parenting. Call it fathering and mothering. Because anybody says, well, I can be a parent to such and such. And I see the point. But if you're going to be a good father and a good mother, it's going to require discipline. A child will grow to be self-disciplined only when he has been properly disciplined. That's why we have in our world today and in our society children who have no self-discipline. And it's sometimes because mom and dad never disciplined them. And a lot of what passes as disorders today is not a problem of disorder. What is it? It's a problem of discipline. When I was in college, I'd go home to Wichita, Kansas, and I would work the church bus route. And I'd go knocking on doors trying to get kids to ride the bus to church. And there were kids whose parents came to church. And you rarely had problems with those kids. But it was the bus kids Don't those kind of have a reputation even today? Bus kids? It was the bus kids whose parents were too lazy to come to church. Those were the biggest troublemakers. And psychologists would tell you, well, they simply have a disorder. They're hyperactive. Attention deficit disorder. They're learning disabled, and so forth and so on. And some cases are medical. There are some cases where that is true. There's a thyroid problem, or perhaps the child has a hearing impairment or a visual impairment that makes paying attention very difficult. There are some cases that can be attributed to medical causes. But folks, 50 years ago, you didn't hear about attention deficit disorder. Today, when kids are hyperactive, it might be because, yeah, they have a diet of sugar and caffeine. I once saw a mother feeding her baby a bottle of Mountain Dew. You know what that kid was like? So there is sometimes when a child is hyperactive because of the sugar. But mostly it's because the parents are too lazy to take the time and effort to instill discipline. I read about a Sunday school teacher who, when the mother came, when this child was going to graduate into her class, the mother came to her and said, "Now, Susie, my daughter is hyperactive. She's given drugs so that she's under control at school, and I just want to warn you about this." Well, the teacher on the first day made it very clear to her students that I'm in charge. My word's the law. You will obey, period. She said it kindly, but she said it firmly. And you know something? The kids absolutely loved her and adored her. And it's interesting, the ADD kids around her were well behaved, but as soon as mom and dad showed up, guess what? They became hyperactive and became disorderly. So who's disorderly? It's mom and dad. Who's undisciplined? Mom and dad. Folks, it takes discipline to discipline. Without discipline, it is difficult, if not impossible, to rear children biblically. The Lord says, bring them up in the discipline and the warning of the Lord. But many times children aren't self-disciplined because the parents aren't self-disciplined. You see, lack of discipline is not genetic. Lack of discipline is not biological. It is a bad habit. It is a life-dominating sin that has been learned. And parents have to examine themselves whether they're self-disciplined or not. All of us can be seeing some areas of improvement in our lives. And if we're not self-disciplined, it's not easy to change. But if it's right, it must be done. Think about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The Apostle said, listen, I'm going to bring my body into subjection. My body's not going to control me. I'm going to control it. If I'm not supposed to eat such and such, I bring under my body is under me. If I need to lose weight, my body is under me. It does not control me. You'll find that parents who are undisciplined in the area of eating or anything very often have undisciplined children. Folks, to arrive at self-discipline, you've got to have discipline imposed upon you. And a child must have discipline imposed upon him or her. You know, I like to buy things that have batteries included. I hate it when you buy something, get it home, put it together, and find out, oh, I don't have the batteries. Oh, got to go back to the store, get the batteries. I like things that have batteries included, but folks, children don't come with discipline included. It's something that God expects parents, His agents, to instill in the children that belong to Him. You know what? You don't have to teach your children to sin. They do so by nature because they have a sin nature. I remember when we first moved to Greeley, we had some a young couple who lived next door to us. And their they had a young child, and they thought the world of this child. And one day, I'll never forget when the wife said to me, "I can't believe it. My daughter just," and named something her daughter did wrong, as if this was so unusual. I said, "You know what? Your child has a sin nature." She did not like me saying that. That's sin coming out. At salvation, we do receive a new nature, but the old nature is still present. The old nature is what the Bible calls the flesh. It's where our word carnal comes from. Yes, so even after salvation, we have the old nature of self-interest, self-gratification, self-desire, and it is still present in children even after they are saved. Because the old nature likes what it likes, and the old nature will always take the path of least resistance and the path of greatest enjoyment. By nature, we are lazy. By nature, children are lazy. Schoolwork is no fun. You see, a child thinks that this world exists for me to have fun in. Well, and that's not fun, and that's not fun, as if fun is what everything is all about. Schoolwork is no fun. Schoolwork is boring. And they have fun playing with toys, but they don't have fun putting them away afterward, and therefore, they're not made to put toys away afterward, and so the parents are lacking in the discipline that the child receives. You see, discipline makes me do what is right, not just what is fun. It's a matter of doing what we ought to do, not just what we want to do. You'll find that a parent who is undisciplined does not want anyone else telling them how to discipline, even when it comes to the Bible. So we're talking about biblical principles of parenting. So what does the Bible have to say about discipline? Well, as we close here, the idea of discipline is found in many different words in the Bible, even if it's not translated discipline. And here's one of those words. It's the word temperate. Let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul says, I had quoted 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body. Two verses prior to that, verse 25, he says this, "But every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That is, disciplined in all things. That word temperate means he controls himself. He exercises self-control. That same word is used in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, where pastors must be temperate. They must be in control of themselves. They must be disciplined. It is the word that the Apostle Paul used when he was standing before the governor, Felix, in Acts 24:25. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And do you remember the response of Felix? He trembled. And he said to the Apostle Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." What was it that the Apostle Paul was reasoning with Felix about? Of righteousness, of discipline, and judgment. That word temperate is used when we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's discipline. Did you know that a disciplined life is what will be evident of a Spirit-filled life? You will not have somebody who is undisciplined who is also at the same time full of the Spirit. Somebody who is always late cannot be full of the Spirit, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is discipline. Now I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, where we're going to see this word, another occurrence of this word, 2 Peter chapter 1. And I take you there because it's a longer passage, 4 or 5 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, it begins in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Talked about that one Wednesday night recently. "And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge," there it is, "temperance," or discipline. "And to discipline, patience or endurance. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, including discipline, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks, that is required for the fruitful Christian life, discipline. I've got a book on my shelf in my office called The Disciplines of a Godly Man, written by Kent Hughes. And it goes through and talks about the disciplines, the things that will be true of a man who is godly. Disciplines. The root word of that word discipline, as we've seen in those passages I've read to you, including here in 2 Peter chapter 1, the root of that word has the idea of taking into custody, arresting, holding back, restraining, taking hold of. What is it that you say when somebody is so emotionally distraught that they can't even think straight? You say, come on, get a hold of yourself. That's the idea behind that word. Get hold of yourself. Get a grip. Because they've allowed their emotions to take over. Somebody who is not self-disciplined is emotionally unstable. And that kind of a person will crack and fall apart. So the controlling of emotions is a part of self-discipline. But emotional outbursts are a sign of the lack of self-discipline. Let me use an example. Some of you would say, you know, I've got a temper. Well, the reality is all of us have a temper. But we would say, well, I have a bad temper. Okay, now you're getting somewhere. Or I've got a short temper. That word temper is the same word temperance. And if you lose your temper, you've lost discipline. You've lost self-control. So it is not having a temper that is wrong. It is losing the temper that is a sin. It's non-temperance. Let's make application with a child. A child who is crying all the time because he's not getting his way is a child who is not disciplined. A child who is allowed to pout is not disciplined. And it should not be allowed in children. But now go back to the title of this message, because there's a word related to the word discipline that we're familiar with. What does it say in your bulletin? What's the title of this message? It's not just the word discipline. What's the other word? It's a disciple. A believer is not a good disciple of Jesus Christ if there is no discipline in that person's life. In fact, he cannot be a disciple of Christ. You say, prove it, okay? I'll prove it. Luke 14. I say again, a believer is not a good disciple of Christ if there is no discipline. In fact, he cannot be a disciple of Christ. Because Jesus says this in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. All of these things require discipline. Taking up your cross and coming after Jesus Christ requires discipline, self-discipline. And if you can't do that, you cannot be my disciple. So I want you to note how discipline and being a disciple go hand in hand. Now, here's a quote that I want to give you from a man by the name of Sorensen, who wrote a book on how to train your children to turn out right. And I'd like you, if nothing else, to write this little quote down and to remember this throughout this series. Here it is. Shallow Christians do what they want to do. Let me repeat that. Shallow Christians do what they want to do. Spiritual Christians do what they ought to do. Shallow Christians do what they want to do. Spiritual Christians do what they ought to do. You see, there's times when, you know what, you don't feel like going to work. So what do? You do what you want to do and you stay home, right? We could put it this way. Fired employees do what they want to do. Employees who keep their job do what they ought to do. Shallow Christians do what they want to do. Spiritual Christians do what they ought to do. There's times I don't want to do certain things, but because I've had some discipline ingrained in me, I do it regardless of what I feel like. And I don't allow my emotions to take over and control me. And therefore, there's got to be discipline. And folks, if our children are going to be disciplined, it's going to require parents who instill that discipline in them. And then that means that that parent has to have self-discipline. Because the hardest thing to do sometimes is to give your child a spanking when he needs it, when you've done it for the 14th time that day. And he wears you out when you should be wearing him out. But it takes discipline. Because a two-year-old sometimes can wear you out. And they talk about the terrible twos. You know what? The terrible twos is what we've come up with, is what undisciplined parents have come up with. Because your child does not have to be terrible at age two if the parent is disciplined when the child is age two and does what the child needs. So I say this, a shallow Christian child will do what he wants to do. And a shallow Christian child will be allowed to do what he wants to do, and you're going to raise Cain when you do it. But a spiritual child will do what he ought to do. He or she will obey mom and dad. A shallow Christian parent will do what they want to do, and they will not rear their children biblically, but a spiritual parent will do what he ought to do. Discipline and warn. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and the warning of the Lord. Discipline, folks, is important. It is important. It is the foundation for what we're going to go on to in the next weeks. But you have to understand, it is important. Now, what is good discipline? That's what we're going to be looking at in weeks to come. What is good discipline? But I hope you can apply these things to your life too. That if you're going to be a good parent, if you're going to be a good Christian, if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it requires discipline. Discipline is a negative word to many people, but I find it positive. Because I can say to such and such, that guy's disciplined. You can count on him, you can count on her. They're always on time. They do what they say they're going to do. They do things in spite of the fact that it's hard for them to do it. He's disciplined. She's disciplined. That's a compliment. That's a good Christian testimony. Because a disciple of Christ will be disciplined. Lord, I pray that each of us would have the testimony of